like to clarify the question asked at this moment. He asked about the river consciousness. I call investigating consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling. One is under the unwholesome. In fact, it broke my view. One is unwholesome resultant consciousness. Investigating consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling. The last one. This will become rebirth linking consciousness for those reborn in four woeful states. One consciousness can perform different functions. So investigating consciousness not only performs the function of investigating, sometimes it performs the function of rebirth linking consciousness for those who are reborn in four woeful states. And another one, under the eight wholesome resultant fruitless consciousness, there's one investigating consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling, the last one. This will become the rebirth linking consciousness for those who reborn in human realm but deformed. Like blind, born deaf, and so on. And reborn in human world with complete faculties, like all of you, is with the eight resultant sense sphere resultant consciousness. And reborn in Brahma world is the five resultant consciousness. Five material resultant consciousness. And reborn in Arupa realm is four resultant in material sphere consciousness. So all are 19. 19 types of rebirth consciousness. Some of you may not be able to understand. Now this is the answer for that lady. The same consciousness but different names. just like, for example, me, child. My name is called Sally Priscilla. Before I ordain, I have my lay name. Actually, two names, but same person. Same. They have three names, rebirth consciousness, Bhavanga, death consciousness. Actually, three of these are Bhavanga. But when it arrives, the first, the very first in one life, that is called rebirth consciousness. And when it arrives at the end of one life, it's called death consciousness. And between rebirth and death, in the middle, is called Bhavanga. Okay, is it clear? Now, what is Bhavanga? Now many of you heard about Bhavanga, but I don't think you really understand. Bhavanga is a combination of two words, Bhavat Anga, Bhavanga. Bhavat means existence. Anga means factor or the cause. So Bhavanga means factor or cause of existence. And the function of Bhavanga consciousness is to preserve the continuity of the mental stream through the duration of any single existence from conception to death. Let's see this part. The first consciousness arises in one's life here called rebirth consciousness. After that, there are many thought processes or cognitive processes arises in between. So if one cognitive process finishes before another cognitive process arrives, Bhavanga must arise in between in order to preserve the continuity of mental stream, because mental stream cannot stop flowing. Mental stream cannot stop flowing because the causes for the mental stream to arrive and pass away remains intact, remains there. So long the craving and ignorance are not uprooted, the mental stream will continue to flow. So sometimes when the eye seeing something, then this thought process finishes. Before ear consciousness arises again, that Bhavanga must arise in between eye consciousness and that ear consciousness in order to preserve the continuity of mental stream. So in between two collective processes, the mental stream here cannot stop flowing. So Bhavanga. So this is the function of Bhavanga. So all these blocks are Bhavanga. And here you see the wave is up and down because all this connective process either rooted in unproton roots or quantum roots. It's active, very active, but the Bhavanga is resultant consciousness. Resultant consciousness. It's the result of our past karma. So it's more passive. Rather than wholesome consciousness is active, unwholesome consciousness is also active. Resultant consciousness is already fixed, so it's not so active. So all this are in between the two connected processes are Bhavanga. Arise to preserve the continuity of the mental stream. So is it clear what's Bhavanga? This is called the cause. The cause of existence. Now since we understand Bhavanga, which is process 3, now let us go to cognitive process. When consciousness arises, cognizing an object at the sense door, eye door, ear door, knows what is going on, they do not occur at random, but occur in a series consisting of 17 separate moments of consciousness that arise one after another. I will explain this detail. I'll just give you some instructions here. So that consciousness arrives one after another in order to cognize, for example, visible objects. And they arrive one after another in a certain order, according or according with the sixth law of consciousness. We call citta niyama. Not at random. Not as he wants it to arise. Cannot. It must arise at a fixed order of consciousness. For example, for an eye-door connected process to arise, first the visible object, the color, impinges, comes to contact with eye sensitivity and bhavanga, simultaneously. Then, let's say this example. When this lotus strike or comes into contact with your eye sensitivity together with bhavanga, then a series of consciousness consists of 17 mind moments arise in order to cognize this lotus. So what are the 17 mind moments? Number one, pas bhavanga. Here it's called pas, pas bhavanga. When a visible object arrives in pinch eye sensitivity with bhavanga, one bhavanga consciousness passed away. It's called pas bhavanga. After pas bhavanga passed away, another bhavanga arises. It's called vibrating bhavanga. Because of the new visible object, impinge eye sensitivity and the bhavanga vibrates. It's called vibrating bhavanga. After vibrating bhavanga pass away, then number third bhavanga arises. It's called arresting bhavanga. It means that bhavanga stops. Arresting bhavanga. Bhavanga stop already in order to give way to the cognitive process. When arresting bhavanga passes away, five-door averting consciousness. We have mentioned this in the three functional consciousness, five-door averting consciousness. So five-door averting consciousness arises, turn towards the new object, like inquiring, hey, what is this? If it is visible object, then what consciousness will arise? Eye consciousness. So if it is sound, ear consciousness will arise. So it turn towards the object, like inquiring, what is this? It's called five-door averting consciousness. Is it wholesome consciousness or unwholesome or retarded or functional? Functional. Five-door averting consciousness is functional. So this consciousness, this consciousness does not give any karmic potential in our life. Okay, because it's functional consciousness. So now suppose this lotus is one object visible. Visible object. So after five-door averting consciousness, eye consciousness arises, seeing that object, then it passed away. Just see that visible object and pass away. Eye consciousness is what? Resultant consciousness or functional consciousness? Eye consciousness. Again? So just now I said when you see a speaker is what? When your eye sees a speaker on the ground, it's resultant consciousness. Eye consciousness seeing that visible object. So eye consciousness, resultant consciousness. So seeing that object, followed by receive that object. Receive receiving is also resultant consciousness, followed by investigating, investigate that object. All these are resultant consciousness. And followed by determining that object. Determining consciousness is functional consciousness. So from the P up to Z, all this cannot be changed. Fixed already. Resultant or functional or fixed. But now come to Jhavana. Seven Jhavana. Jhavana must be either wholesome or unwholesome. So Jhavana, J-A-V-A-N-A, Jhavana. Jhavana means it runs very swiftly. It runs very swiftly towards the object. To apprehend the object. That's why it's called Jhavana. But it runs very swiftly. That's why it runs for seven times. Other only one time, Jhavana runs for seven times. In order to apprehend that visible object. After seven Jhavana, two registering consciousness arise and pass away, taking the same object, the same visible object and object. Now 17 moments pass away, 17 mind moments. Now from the P up to the two registering consciousness. So one connected process. I draw connected process finished. After I draw connected process, usually it follows by my door connected process. So before my door connected process arises, the Bhavanga must arise in order to preserve the continuity of mental stream. This is the function of Bhavanga. So after registering consciousness, Bhavanga arises, then my door connected process will arise. And you, although here appear to you 17 mind moments, it seems that it occurs together, but you should not misunderstand. It arrives one after another. No two consciousness can arise at the same time. So let's see, when one Bhavanga arises, then pass away. Give in to the vibrating Bhavanga and pass away. Then a resting Bhavanga will pass away one by one, not 17 together. Okay? The ancient teacher illustrates this cognitive process on the Wiki is the simile of mango. A certain man with his head covered and went to sleep at the foot of a mango tree. Then a ripe mango loosened from the stalk fell to the ground. The sound strike his ear. Then awakened by the sound, he opened his eyes and looked. Then he stretched out his hand, took the fruit, and squeezed it, now that it's right, I must squeeze it, and smelled it. Having done so, he ate the mango. Swallowed it, and appreciating its taste, and then went back to sleep. This is the simile given by an ancient teacher to describe the connective process. So, when the man covered his head and went to sleep at the foot of the mango tree, this is similar to the mind in the Bhavanga state. When you fell asleep without any dream, at that moment, Bhavanga mind arrives in the mental stream successfully, without dream. If we dream, then very weak mind of process will arrive. So you sleep soundly 1 hour, then Bhavanga consciousness arrives and pass away 1 hour in another stream. So we saw so this man went to sit at the foot of a mango tree, equal to the Bawanga tree. Then a red mango loosened from the stalk and from the stalk fell to the ground. The sound struck his ear, like the object striking one of the ten of them. The sound striking one of the either eye, ear, nose, tongue, and body, so on. And awakened by the sound, so it's equal to five soul averting consciousness. Awakened by the sound, it's equal to five soul averting consciousness turning towards the object. What is that? What is that sound? So he opened his eyes and looked, equal to eye consciousness accompanying its function of seeing. Then he stretched out his hand, took the fruit. It's equal to receiving consciousness. I took the fruit, received the fruit, the object. And he squeezed it, means investigating consciousness, and smelled it, determining consciousness. Having done so, he ate the mango. So the seventh yavana, experiencing the flavor of the object. Seventh yavana, experiencing the flavor of the object. So at this moment, if you enjoy the taste, what consciousness arises in the mind? Consciousness rooted in greed. Greed. Now if you dislike the taste, consciousness rooted in hatred will arise in your mind. So either consciousness rooted in hatred or greed will arise in the dhyana state. So dhyana state is the most important state in which all the karma are performed here. So after he ate the mango, swallowed it and appreciating its taste, means the registering consciousness taking the same object as the dhyana. Appreciating his taste. And then he went back to sleep. The mind led into Bhavanga again. So the whole process here is devoid of any self or controller. Which one is self? Which one is self? No self. So if you say I itself, okay, now I ask which one itself? No. They cannot tell me which one itself. So there's no I, no he or no he. It's only the processes arising. It's only the mind moment arising and passing away before the ecstasy function. Then pass away. Sink into another mind moment, arise and pass away, perform its specific function. So there's no controller and there's no self here. The momentary consciousness themselves, the momentary arising and passing away of the consciousness, they themselves exercise their own specific function and pass away. Within the top cognitive process or wiki, each consciousness comes into being in accordance with the law of consciousness. And it arises independent on a variety of conditions. Buddha's teaching is cause and effect. So arising the arising of each consciousness is depend on different causes. What are the causes for the arising of this eye-door connected consciousness? What are the causes for the arising of eye-door connected consciousness? Number one, visible object. Without visible object, eye consciousness cannot arise. So visible object is one of the causes. The next, it says visible object, but the room is dark. Can you see?
No.
So light is also important. Now suppose I show you my screen here, but you close your eyes. You do not pay attention. Can you see it?
No.
So attention is also important. Without attention, eye consciousness cannot arise. Then, for eye consciousness to arise, you must have what? Eye sensitivity. For a blind person, eye consciousness cannot arise. So you need eye sensitivity. So this is also one of the causes. And another one, for example, for this determining consciousness to arise, it also depends on the preceding consciousness. Without the passing away of investigating consciousness, determining consciousness cannot arise. For example here, receiving consciousness. Without the passing away of eye consciousness, receiving consciousness cannot arise. Without the pass away of receiving consciousness, investigating consciousness cannot arise. So the arising of that each mind moment also depends on the preceding mind moment. So all these are the causes for arising of one eye door cognitive process. So now we have studied eye door cognitive process. So there are five types of sense door cognitive process. Eye door cognitive process. Second, ear door cognitive process. For the ear door cognitive process to arise, what condition it needs? Sound, ear sensitivity, attention, attention, then what else? Space, if you block with the wall, the sound cannot reach your ear, so it needs space, and also the preceding consciousness. Then nose door connective process, then tongue door connective process, and body door connective process. So there are five types of sense door cognitive process. As I had mentioned, in the Jhana stage, all wholesome and unwholesome karma are performed here. When you like, then wholesome consciousness, the unwholesome consciousness rooted in greed arises in you for 7 times. When you dislike the object, then the consciousness rooted in anger will arise in you 7 times. Then after 17 mind moments, this object, the visible object, pass away. Why? Why? Because the lifespan of matter, the lifespan of materiality lasts for 17 mind moments. So the visible object is matter. The lifespan for the visible object lasts for 17 mind moments. So after 17 mind moments finish, the visible object also disappears. But now we still not yet see clearly yet. We only see the color of the object. We still don't know it's a lotus yet. In order to see clearly, this eye door connecting process must be followed by several mind-door cognitive process. Mind-door cognitive process is different from five-door cognitive process. Five-door cognitive process has 17 mind moments, but mind-door cognitive process is different. Now let us recognize first what are the process of mind-door cognitive process. Number one is, can you read for me? Vibrating bhavanga, vibrating bhavanga, mind door averting consciousness. 7 jhavana and registering consciousness. So it's very different from the 5 door cognitive process. Now you have to differentiate this. So just now the eye sees the lotus. The eye sees the visible object lotus. The eye consciousness, the eye door cognitive process cannot recognize lotus. It does not know this lotus. It only sees the color. You know what is that? Only see color. In order to know this lotus, it's a stroke of mind door cognitive process. So the first mind door cognitive process followed by eye door cognitive process. See past object. just now I mentioned that lotus, that mystical object already disappeared. The lifespan of visible object already finished. So already disappeared. So the mind dwell cognitive process recollects what has been just now. So that object already becomes past object. So the first mind dwell cognitive process takes past object as object. Then followed by second mind dwell cognitive process. This process grasps the object as a whole. Grasping the object as a whole. Then followed by third mind dwell cognitive process. Seeing that and taking it as a thing, the thing concept. The thing concept of the lotus. Then followed by another fourth mind dwell cognitive process. At this process, the name concept appears in his mind. What is the name of this lotus? So the name concept appears in his mind. So he recognizes this lotus. So to recognize one thing, it takes many cognitive processes, not only one. But when the moment you see me, you recognize me. Is it true? No, you don't recognize me. Can you recognize me at the very moment you see me? But why? I say only after 4th mind dwell cognitive process that you recognize me. Yes, because of the tremendous stage of consciousness. You think you recognize me at the very first moment, but you are not aware. Actually, billions of mind moments already passed away. Okay? Even in a time like this, how you call it, white light. Yeah, I think in between the second 60 negative and positive arise and pass away. But we do not see, we only see it as a continuous white light. So our mind cannot grasp the richness and the sweetness of the consciousness. So what we have seen, what we see sometimes are all distorted views. It's not the actual view, it's all the quoted view. So what we are, what we see is all conventional truth, not our view. Do you agree with me? Okay. After you recognize the lotus, you recognize the name concept of lotus already. And what is your response? What's your response? Now everything has come clear to you already. Now this is lotus. What's your response? Either you like and dislike. So the wholesome and unwholesome karma are involved here. And the jhana stage on it. If you like, as I have said, the snap of a finger or in a second, by the blink of an eye, billions of consciousness already arise and pass away. Suppose you take delight in this lotus for only 1 minute. 1 second, millions of consciousness. 1 minute times 60 seconds. So, uncountable, unwholesome consciousness, either rooted in greed or hatred arise in you. And each consciousness, each unwholesome consciousness, when it is performed, it leaves behind karmic force. When this karmic force matured, or when this karmic force match or meet with all favorable conditions, it will produce its result, either in the present life or in the future life. And sometimes the recurring consciousness, this too may not arise when the object is not very clear to the mind. The true registering consciousness cannot arise. When only when the object is very clear to the mind, true registering consciousness can arise. But this only for 10 clear consciousness. For a define material sphere consciousness, there is no registering consciousness. 啊，我讲呢 ，the process no registering consciousness. 啊 ，registering consciousness only happens in the sense sphere consciousness. So in the seven jhana here, wholesome and unwholesome karma are performed and strengthened at the jhana stage.Even in the I-door committed process, the object is still not clear. Although the object is not clear, the karma still performs at the jhana stage, whether good or bad. But that karma is very weak because the object is not clear yet. But at the mind-door committed process, because the object now becomes clearer, so your reaction towards the object also becomes stronger. So at that moment, the wholesome and unwholesome karmaAre strengthened again, are strengthened at that stage, at the mind door connected process stage. Is it clear to you? Huh? Okay. So, when you are, for example, you are watching television, what connected process arises in you? So many connected process arise. When you hear, you're hearing a clear connected process. When you see, I draw connected process around. When you see, not only see, but you must know the meaning. Then, mind draw connected process around. Sometimes when you watch television, you eat something again. Then, tongue draw connected process around. Then, you also feel the hardness, the comfortable on your sofa. Then, body connected process around in you.So in one, at the moment of watching television, there are so billions of cognitive processes arising in you, but you don't know anything. You only know what's happening in the story of the, in the TV. You don't know what, so many mind consciousness already arrived and passed away in your mental stream. That's why I say, we only see, what we see is only distorted view.We cannot see what actually happens in our mind and body. So all this, the eye door connected process, ear door, tongue door, body door and mind door happens alternatively in your mental stream while you are watching television. Sometimes eye door followed by mind door, after that ear door followed by my door, sometimes body door followed by my door. So it occurs one, of course, one after another, not all together. And when you are watching entertainment program in the TV, most of the time you are accumulating what comes up. Not only greed. Sometimes you also catch. This person is very bad. I catch him. So it adds your daughter in your mental stream again.That's why it's not good to watch TV. Like our mind is controlled by others, you know. Our mind, emotions are controlled by the story of the TV. So we become very muted. So for those who are actors and actress, living Buddha's night, there's one actor, who always, how do you say, like, have to make people laugh. So he feels that.Comedian. So he feels that, you know, he always makes people laugh. So he must have accumulating a lot of good karma. So he went to ask a lot of that. I have been an actor for so many years. I was born. Ask me. Second time. No, I want to know. Don't ask me. Third time, okay, since you want to know, after that, you will go to hell.Then he start to cry. I ask you, don't ask me. What do you want me? Sometimes the Lord Buddha want to, you know, make people feel sorry. But if you insist, then Buddha has to tell the truth. Because you make people's mind deluded. That's why you create a lot of bad karma. But then for those who watch.Then for those who act, then for those who watch, then I have to ask Lord Buddha. know at the jhana stage, many wholesome and unwholesome karma are performed and strengthened. What else? What type of karma can be performed at the jhana stage? The unwholesome karma performed in sense-sphere jhana can be bodily or verbally or mentally. Bodily unwholesome karma, there are three bodily unwholesome karma. Killing, when you kill something, you kill mosquito, all these are performed and burn sexual misconduct, all these are performed at the jhana stage. Then speech, under speech, unwholesome verbally speech, there are four. Telling lies, slandering, half speech. Half speech, when you, for example, when you quarrel with somebody. If you quarrel for 5 minutes, so in 1 second, millions of consciousness. If you quarrel for 5 minutes, then how many consciousness rooted in anger arise in you? You can count yourself. And frivolous talk. I think we invoke this one most of the time. Frivolous talk. We talk a lot of nonsense. All these are unwholesome karma. And the mind also, under the mind, there are three unwholesome karma. Covetousness. Covetousness means, how is it? Crave for other people's property. When you see, for example, you have done here. When you see other people have BMW, then how nice is this car become mine? Only one thought. Then you have performed unwholesome mentally karma. Then ill will. You have ill will towards other people. And the last one, wrong will. All these 10 unwholesome karma are performed at the sense-sphere jhana stage. And once it's performed, it leaves behind stomach force. And when it meets with all favorable conditions, it will ripen. Then you have to suffer accordingly. When they are unwholesome, they are also wholesome. So they are also wholesome karma. And this unwholesome karma performed in sense-sphere 10 is opposite if you restrain. For example, you restrain from killing, restrain from taking what's not given, restrain from sexual misconduct, and restrain from telling lies, slandering, half-speech, and frivolous talk. And you change your covetousness towards what? Non-covetousness. And non-evil and right views. And all this wholesome karma also will be performed in the sense-sphere jhana stage. And this behind, very beautiful karmic force. And then when this karmic force ripens, it will produce beautiful results, either in this life or future life. Another ten meritorious deeds that can be performed in sense-sphere jhana, including giving dana. As I have said, when you give, you must give with happiness and the understanding of karma. And one more thing, if you give with much respect and reverence, what will be the result? Offer something to monks and nuns. Just offer. Another one, offer. Very respectfully. So when the result ripens, what is the reason? Okay, what's the reason? So if you offer things respectfully, then of course you will become a wealthy person. The dana brings wealth to you. And because you offer respectfully, your children, your wife, and your slaves, and all your employees will be very obedient to you. So now, if your wife is not obedient to you, your children is not obedient to you, then you blame yourself. Because in the previous life, when you do some offering, you do it disrespectfully. So one thing, when we do one thing, if we have understanding how to do it, we use better results. Okay? Then number two, virtue, morality. Number three, meditation. Number four, reverence. Number five, service. This service including in the offer your service in the monastery or you help in the hospital. Number six, transfer of knowledge. Then I'd like to say something about transfer of knowledge. In the Tiro Sutta Sutta, the Buddha says, if the deceased relatives are reborn as hungry souls, who can rejoice in others' merit? Then one should perform meritorious deeds for the sake of them and share merit with them. If the hungry souls can say sadhu, if in Theravada country, sadhu is very popular. We like to call sadhu, whatever we see people do, we like to call sadhu. And so if the hungry ghost can save sadhu, they also will be free from the miserable existence. And they can resist celestial proving celestial mansions, gardens, and intentions. So it's advisable to transfer merit to your depart parents. Resist relatives of parents. In Theravada country, when our relatives pass away, for example in Burma, if their father or sister or mother pass away, they will go, maybe tomorrow they will go to monastery and offer alms. We don't know where our relatives will be reborn. They may be reborn in heaven or animal or hell or deva or hungry ghost. We do not know. But for the safety, for the safety or happiness of them, whether they can receive or not, it's our duty to do some dana on their behalf and transfer money to them. In case they are reborn in the hospital, in the hungry ghost, and if they know we are transferring money, we are transferring money to them, and if they can call sadhu, then they can get, sometimes they can free from this better world. Or they can get some clothing, food, and so on. So this is the benefit of transfer of knowledge. Number seven is rejoicing in others' knowledge. So among these ten, number seven is the most easy one. When you see somebody perform some dana, you just call sadhu sadhu, that's all. Very easy. Then you call sadhu sadhu, but your mind has very rejoiced. Not sadhu sadhu sadhu, not like that. Your mind very rejoiced in his marriage for his day. And you yourself get one free marriage. By saying three times sadhu. So it's very easy to do. It seems very easy, but you know, sometimes not easy because of our jealousy. Because of our jealousy, then instead of calling three times sadhu, we say something which is not nice. All he do that he perform dana because he want name. Instead of calling sadhu, we criticize. We criticize his devotion. It's the nature of mind. Mind we like to do. Number nine, hearing the dharma. Now, as like what you are doing now, hearing the dharma. So in a snap of finger, millions of consciousness arise in you. Now you have listen to the dharma for how long? Nearly 1 hour. But maybe about within 1 hour, maybe only 20 minutes you are concentrated. And the rest of time is restless. So you check yourself. Number nine, teaching the dharma is also very touristic like me. Now teaching the dharma for so many hours. So I have accumulating a lot of meritorious deeds in the dharma stage. Very quick, huh? the teaching the Dharma doesn't mean I have to come out and present. What you have learned today, when you go back you share with your friends, is also teaching the Dharma. Okay, number 10, strengthening out one's view. This one is easy to understand. If you have wrong view, you make your view strict. Okay, now we come to the most important one. We have mentioned all wholesome and unwholesome consciousness are performed at the jhana stage. And each jhana stage, each jhana gives different results. The first jhana generates immediately effective karma, which can only produce its effects in this very life. Just like I have mentioned to you, the poor Brahmin who offered his only outer garment. Then he bear the effect in this very life. He get so many offering by the king. So this type of karma is generated by first jhana. So the first jhana only can generate its immediately effective karma, which can only produce its effect in this very life. If it cannot produce any effect, it becomes defunct karma, abortive karma, becomes non-operative karma. So the story is the poor Brahmin. I'd like to give you some more stories. Malika story, the story of Malika. Malika is the queen of King Atanabi. Before she became queen, she was the daughter of garland maker. So one day, she wanted to join a ceremony, a festival. So she brought along the food. On her way to the garden, she met the Buddha. But she did not know he is the Buddha. When you do meritorious deeds, unprompted, spontaneously, without inducement by others, what is the reason behind? Why you can do something good without inducement by others? So this Malika, when you see Buddha, you know he doesn't know he's the Buddha. But when she sees the Buddha, spontaneously, you offer all his food to the Buddha with a lot of happiness. Sometimes this thing can happen to you. But why without other people persist you, then you can do it? Why? Because of past habits. Because you have performed the same action many times in your past. So now you meet the same condition, you know how to do it spontaneously. So Malika offered all her food to the Buddha spontaneously with a lot of happiness. The Buddha says, this girl, by his offering of food to me, she will become queen in this very day. In this not only very life, in this very day. Then at that time, after she offered the food to the Buddha, the King Patanadi arrived in the garden. When the King Patanadi met her, he fell in love with her and brought her back to the palace and she became a queen. So this type of karma is generated by first jhana. And had lost her head. So the lady offered a modest meal to the monk. And this is when he sell the hair, he got some money. This poor girl got some money. And he used this money to buy food and offer to Mahakasyapa and his accompanied monk. So very miraculously, we had to offer the aunt's food. Her hair grow back to each to its full length. Not only that. When Kajana reported to the king the incident, and the king sent for this young woman. When the king met her, he fell in love with her and made her his queen. So this type of karma is generated by first Javana, which can produce its result in this very life. The result produced in this very life, is it better than the result produced in a future life? Which one is better?
Now.
Don't be so short-sighted. Don't think of the present life only. Don't be so, so short-sighted. If you become a queen for 50 years, 50 years, in this very life, but if the result happens in the future, you will be born in the heaven. Maybe how many years? Thousands of years. Which one is better? So, the first Javana is the weakest one. The weakest one because you only can produce result in the present life. Okay, now we go to the seventh Javana, the last Javana. The second week. This seven jhana generates subsequently effective karma, which can produce its result in the immediate future life. Not this life, immediate future life. In Pa'a Monastery, I have met so many people and discussed about their past life. So many of them are reborn now as a meditator in Pa'au, or as a woman, man, because in their past, they offer food, fruit to the monks. Some offer candles, flour, water to the Buddha image. Because of that, it's so easy to do meritorious things. In this life, we are reborn as men, women, bhikkhus, nuns, people. So all these are javana, seven javana. Number seven javana, which generates subsequent effective karma and produce its result in the immediate future life. That's one lecturer, university lecturer, now she's professor in her house. In when she discerned her past, she wants to find out why now she becomes professor in a university. So we found out in her past life, immediately past life, she was a very poor village girl. At the time she was at Sanji Yoga Boda. I think some of you may have gone to Burma before, Sanji Yoga Boda. A pagoda on the big stone. So when she was at that pagoda with the lamb, she offered to the Tetio pagoda. Beside her, there's one very rich and educated lady beside her. So when she offered this poor this poor villager, when she offered this lamb to the pagoda, then she prayed, "May this meritorious village help me to be reborn as an educated lady like who is beside me and in the big house." She prayed for him. Then during his dying moment, this karma ripened. And this karma ripened produced its result in this very life. And she was born in big town and now she was a professor in university. So this karma is generated by seven jhana, which produce its result in the immediately future life. And if it cannot produce its result, it becomes Vipang karma, becomes non-operative karma. now number 2 to number 6. Number 2 and number 6 jhana generate indefinitely effective karma, which can produce its result at any time along the round of the world until one reaches parinirvana. Is this powerful? Is this powerful? I will give you an example to make this clear. And so long this karma, so long number second to number six, so long this karma does not give its result, its force underlies the mind and matter continuity. As long as the realm of reverse goes on, it never becomes defunct. It never becomes unoperative. It always stays dormant there. It only becomes defunct at one final nirvana. Only when you attain arahantship and pass into parinirvana, then this karma will become defunct. So long you have not passed to parinirvana, this karma is dormant. It's always there when it meets with favorable conditions that it will ripen. Even arahant and a lord Buddha cannot escape from this type of karma. I give an example of arahant lord Sakyatissa. Arahant lord Sakyatissa, he was an arahant, but when he went for Pindapat, he always get nothing. He always get nothing. So he was ordained by a Venerable Sari Buddha. So out of pity, out of compassion for him, Venerable Sari Buddha sometimes bring him together. Because Venerable Sari Buddha thinks, if I bring him, maybe he can get something to eat. So he brings him together for Pindapat. With the accompanying of Lord Sakyatissa, Venerable Sariputta also get nothing. Venerable also get nothing to eat. So finally, Venerable Sariputta leaves him alone. Until his final nearly go into the parinirvana. So Venerable Sariputta, out of compassion for him, he go out and Pindapat for him. Then he come back, he gives the bowl to him without withdrawing his hand, holding the bowl without withdrawing, because he afraid if he withdraws his hand, the food will disappear. So he holds his food and asks Lord Sakyatissa, eat quickly, eat. So Lord Sakyatissa finished his meal and passed away into parinirvana. So what is the bad karma he has performed that, even he attained arahantship and yet suffer from hunger? Because in one of his life, he was a monk. He was an abbot of a monastery. And he had a very rich supporter. Support him all his neighbors. One day, another arahant came to this monastery. So this supporter was very impressed by his faculty, very severe faculty. So he invited him to stay with this abbot and say that he will support all his needs. And this abbot still jealous, of him. Say that, oh, if he stays here, my devotees may change mind, will not support me anymore, will support him only. I must try my best to ask him to leave. So he had this idea in his mind because of jealousy. That's why either you are monk, nun, or lay people, so long you are ordinary person, you have deformity. So one day, this supporter wants to invite both of them for house sana. Next morning. Then he asked the abbot to bring the new monk along. So the next day morning, this abbot wake up and try the bell. 2 weeks and then try the bell for the waking up. They come in the monastery, 4 o'clock, we have to try the bell to wake everybody up. So this monk, this effort to try the bell with his finger nail. Not very loud, not so loud. So we try the bell with the finger nail. Then after breakfast time, he did not call this effort. He did not call this Arahant Devu. Of course, he did not know he's Arahant. Then he go alone. Then the supporter asked him, hey, where's the monk? Then he said, the monk was so lazy. I tried the bell, he never get up. So I come alone. Okay, the supporter said, never mind. When you finish, you bring this food to him. Okay, no? Although I'm unwillingly, but cannot show in front of people. Huh? So, okay, I agree. On the way back to monastery, because overcome by his jealousy, and he just put throw all away the food for the Arahant. And this Arahant was slightly taller. Of course, he knows this monk's mind and intention. Then he said to himself, if I continue to stay here, he will commit more and more Agusara. It's better for me to live. So he fly in the sky. Fly in the sky. And when the monk saw him in the sky, oh my goodness. I have done a very strong mistake. He knows he's not ordinary monk. If you do something back to the ordinary monk and you do something back to the Arahant, the effect is different. The effect is different. So when he sees the monk flying in the sky, he knows his own mistake. So he still regrets and remorse. And when he passed away, he was reborn himself for very, very long. When he came up from the hell, then he was reborn as human being. Many lifetimes, he gets nothing to do. Because of this second to the sixth Javana, which cannot become defunct. So long we have not attained Parivana, this karma will lie dormant there, waiting for the opportunity to ripen. Even up to his last existence, he was reborn in a fishing village. So the moment he was born, all the fishermen cannot get any fish. So the head of the village is very puzzled. What happened to us? No, this never happened to us. So they investigate. They divide the village into 4 portions. And only the portion where the Lord Bhaktivinoda was born, only that portion, the fishermen there cannot get anything. So they know the cause comes from this part. So they divide again. Up to the last family is the Lord Bhaktivinoda family. So his mother has no choice. So his mother brings him, because if his mother goes for fishing, she cannot get anything. So she brought him go out the village and become beggar. But whenever the mother brings her along, the mother also cannot get anything. So the mother said, okay, you go your way, I cannot help you anymore. So his mother left him. And then he was left alone. And luckily he met Venerable Sariputta. And Venerable Sariputta brought him back to the monastery for visiting. Even though I told you already, he cannot get anything. Even Venerable Sariputta, the foremost in wisdom, the right hand disciple of the Buddha, if follow him, if ask him together, Venerable Sariputta also get nothing. So you see, the bad karma is so dangerous for us. Not only one life, many, many lifetimes he has to suffer because only one small mistake. And this bad karma, or this we call indiscriminately effective karma, are generated by second mistake. Javana. One more story, you want to listen? The story will strengthen your memory. Okay, Mongalana story. Mongalana is foremost in psychic power. Foremost in psychic power. But I think all of you know how he met with death. He was bitten by the 500 robbers. In the beginning, because he had psychic power, he knows 500 robbers are coming to kill him. So he used psychic power to escape. I think for some days or three times, some days or seven times, he used his psychic power to escape. But the last time, when he knows the 500 robbers are coming, he tries to use his psychic power, but he cannot. He lost all his psychic power. And he knows, oh, this is my karma. I have to pay this. So once when he lost his psychic power, the 500 robbers come in and pick him up. And pick him up, and all his body are beaten as a small, as a grain, a rice grain. Then all the robbers thought he already passed away. Then all the robbers left. But he was not dying. Because the great disciple, the top disciple, right hand disciple and left hand disciple cannot be beaten to death. So this Moggallana was not dead. He resumed his psychic power and he went back to the Lord Buddha, pay respect to the Lord Buddha and ask permission for Parinibbana. Coming then he passed away. So why a person, even though foremost in psychic power, still cannot escape from the reckoning of the karma? Especially from the reckoning of the karma generated by second to sixth diamond. And what is the reason he was beaten to death? No, you know. Because in his past life, he beat his blind parents to death. He had a blind parent. First, he served his parents very well. But after he married with a girl, his wife did not like his blind parents. So his wife asked him to kill his parents. In the beginning, he did not agree. How can I kill my parents? It's not possible. But sometimes, the wife is keep on I think you know better than me. Keep on making your fear, then the mind, the man also becomes okay. So he follows his wife's intention. And one day he brought his parents to a jungle. On the way, then he asked his parents to wait for a while. He wanted to go somewhere else. Then he pretend himself as a robber. And with the, I don't know what he told, with the stick, he come to his parents, because his parents is blind, cannot see him. So he pitched his parents. At this time, even though he was beaten by his own, even though they are beaten by their own beloved son, and they do not know, then he shouted, oh my dear son, please don't come here. The robber are here, please don't come here. So when they shouted like that, Moggallana feels so sorry. I'm beating my friend. I'm beating my parents, and yet my parents are concerned for me. Ask me, don't come here. So he feels so remorse. So there are two conclusions. One, I think commentary say that he beat his parents until his parents passed away. Another thing, he beat his parents, but his parents do not die. There are two different opinions. I do not know which one. But because of this past karma, that Moggallana suffered many lifetimes in hell. And when he came out as a human being, many lifetimes, I think 250 lives, or many lifetimes, his skull was bitten until as small as green, up to the last existence while he was a chief disciple of the Lord Buddha, foremost in sacrifice. Also cannot escape from the ripening of bad karma. Is it terrible? So karma is very may buying charge, something to be a bit of. When I was in USA, I tell all the stories, and my audience say that, sister, it's very depressing. Can you tell me something good? Good result. Don't always tell me the bad result, it's very depressing. So I have to try very hard to find a story from Dhammapada to get a good one. So there's one good example. In a 94 world cycle ago, there's a man, when he saw the Buddha on his arms crown and noticed the bright complexion of the Lord Buddha and admired him, inspired by the Lord Buddha, he paid homage to the Buddha. And also he invited the Lord Buddha to his house for alms offering. Because of this donation, to the Buddha and donation to the ordinary person, the result is different. Because of the donation of the Buddha, he repeatedly reborn in the celestial realm and human realm. Never go to four worlds. And enjoy human pleasure and deva pleasure there. And in the Gautama Buddha's time, in this present Buddha's time, he becomes a man of great wealth. Even then, he ordained. And gradually, he becomes Narayana. So this is a good story. No one Dhamma performs, you repeatedly reborn in heaven and human. Then finally, and smoothly, you become Narayana. So these are the second to sixth Dhamma, which will continuously giving its result so long you are within in the realm of result. So by reflecting the story of Lord Sakyatissa and the story of Moggallana, we understand our own enemies are what? Our own defilement, our own Kirisa, our own mental corruption, not other people. Other people can help you physically, but other people cannot bring you into four woeful states. Only your own defilement or your own Kirisa are your own real enemy. If you can always reflect in such a way, no one can help you. Even you are bitter, you are abused by others. You know it's your karma. So you can bear it patiently. If you do not reflect this is the result of my karma, I'm sure you get angry. When you get angry sometimes, you take him back. Then a lot of unwholesome karma will fall. That's why Buddha says no harm can come to one except one unguarded mind. So now we understand if we perform unwholesome karma in the Dhamma state, we have to pay, we have to bear the result either in this present life or in the future life or after immediately future life. I have to make it clear here. The second to sixth jhana only can bear result after second future life. Second future life, not first future life. First future life is the result of seven jhana. Number two to six can generate indefinitely effective karma after second future life. You must make clear this point. So we know if we have performed unwholesome karma, we will bear the result either in the present life, future life, or in the immediate future life. So we have to suffer accordingly. So if you don't want all this unwholesome karma, just remain. Because you don't want to suffer. So you want to avoid all the unwholesome karma. What should you do? There are four types of right effort, unique effort. There are four types of right effort in cultivating good mindset. Number one is to prevent the arising of evil. The evil including stealing, you know, taking what's not given, sexual misconduct, telling lies and so on. How to prevent the arising of evil? One is taking the step. Then what else? What else? Huh? It's very important for you. You better think it over again and again. Controlling of indriya samvala sila. Restrain your five senses by mindfulness. Restrain your five senses by the practice of mindfulness. How? I'd like to continue in my next lecture. Any questions? 5 minutes for questions.
Number one?
Mm-hmm. One minute. Okay.
How is the mental sleep like?
If you have no dream, the bhavangang state arises past. The writing is passing away many times. The bhavangang state.
Just bhavangang and no other job.
If you don't have dreams, if you have dreams, then the mind door, very quick mind door connected process will arise.
Okay, so you mentioned that the bhavanas can be 2 to 6, right? And the 6 is in fact indefinitely. What do you mean whether the effect will run off?
Will finish.
Will there be a condition where the effect will finish?
So long you are in a round of rebirth, it's from the second to sixth. So long you are in a round of rebirth, that karma will never become defunct.
I'm just carrying on to what she asked about the that karma. Is it allowed to say that if you do one that karma, I think it's a waiting karma. It means it keeps on repeating. Just because it's time once, that's it on the world. It's like the Mangala came and you beat the devil. Just because of that, you pay forever and forever.
But sometimes you will be, you know, because not only we have performed bad karma, we have also performed good karma. Sometimes the good karma ripens, then the ripening of bad karma must meet with all favorable conditions. Sometimes the condition is not there, that bad karma may not ripen. May not ripen doesn't mean that it will not ripen.
This case, he is repeating and repeating.
Yes, but some of the life he may not die with this consistent. And also because his karma is very heavy karma, as you say, very heavy karma, so he has to suffer more. Confirm whether he will die or not. So if your relatives, departed relatives are reborn in four wohu states, if he was reborn as animal, he cannot receive the transfer of merit. He cannot. If he was reborn as hell being, he also cannot receive your merit. If he was reborn as yaka, not yaka, asura, he also cannot receive the transfer of merit. If he was reborn as hungry ghost, whose life depends on the merit transferred by others. There are different types of hungry ghosts. Not all hungry ghosts can receive the merit. Only certain types of hungry ghosts who live on other transfers of merit. This type of hungry ghost can receive the merit. But we do not know. We do not know which claim we hold. So it's better you do it. If he cannot receive, you yourself already accumulate that good karma by doing karma. So it's very beneficial for you as well. But in order to make sure he receives, there's no guarantee way. But sometimes I was told that the departed relatives will give dreams to you. But it may not happen to everybody. And some people, to make sure you receive, they may ask what Medium. Okay. So I was told by my friend, you know, that they want to know whether his departed father received it or not. So my friend went to see medium. And my this friend is very intelligent girl, you know, he asked the medium, do you receive the house and the clothing I bought for you? He asked the medium first. The medium said, I received. Then this girl said, no, you are not my father, because I never bought anything for you. So I think we don't care whether, but according if you trust the teaching of the Buddha, Buddha say, you know, if you offer to the monk, the sangha, then transfer merit on their behalf and transfer merit to them. They are reborn as a hungry ghost who live on the people's merit and is able to call sadhu, definitely he will receive. If you have trust in the teaching of the Buddha, I think you have to test it.
Regarding this acting, that's what you were saying. For this actor and actress to do very hard of their acting.
Illusion. I hope you are not actors.
Okay. If let's say those actor and actresses took up acting, I mean good acting roles, maybe they act as a Buddha or virtuous people, and then they act with a good storyline, I mean they have a dharma or do they still go to hell?
I don't think so. Because they want
to make sure
to keep
people
locked about the
digital thing. Okay. So they still have a chance to do the
Deva world. That's what I think only.
Oh, you think?
I think it's intention is important.
Okay.
Intention is common. Yeah. So when I give this story in Singapore, I promised Abhidhamma in Singapore. After I finished my talk, one lady comes over to me and asks this question. I was so sorry, I think she's actress. But I always speak out, so I cannot withdraw.
The other question is, you're talking about the Lord Sakha, right?
Okay,
like whenever he went, he couldn't get any food, and then Rangosai Buddha is following him. How does his bad karma influence Sariputta for not getting food?
Too heavy, bad karma. This karma is very difficult to explain.
But the karma is the Lord Sakha, it's not Sariputta.
But it's accompanied by him. Without him, whenever Sariputta can get a lot of food. But with him around, that karma is the same. But to understand exactly how karma works, it's not the domain of our wisdom. The Lord Buddha said, there are four things that you should not think about. If you think about it, you will go to crazy. One of the four is how karma works. How karma gives you result, how it does not interfere with other people. It's not the domain of our knowledge. Okay, there's one question here. You mentioned that when our beloved one pass away, we do dana to share merit with them. Can we do dana for our parents, many things, when they are still alive? Which dana is better? It's two different things. When you transfer merit to your departed relative, you want to help them to get some shelter or clothing or food to eat for the departed one, or to help them to escape from the better world. But if you transfer money to your alive parents, Can I resist that marriage? They cannot resist that marriage. But you make them happy. You make them happy. So they are happy because of you. So they are also accumulating good karma. But if you transfer marriage to them without telling them first, can I be happy? So if you want to transfer marriage, you must let them know. On which day I'm transferring, I will transfer marriage to you. Please rejoice and call God. And then you will be happy. So if I say I send marriage to you without telling them, they will not know anything.
Sometimes you say that in a single second, there are millions of thought processes. So let's say every thought process is different. So this person is very critical minded. So the first jhavana, while it is chosen, another moment it is unchosen. So which one will function?
For the seven jhavana, must be the same type. For example, this seven, the first jhana rooted in greed. So all the seven is the same type. All the seven must be rooted in greed. But after, when you enjoy your food, so for let's say 5 minutes, so all the seven jhana are rooted in greed. But after five minutes, you realize, oh, this person is rooted in greed, I better change. So you start to observe your eating process, either by paying attention to the four elements on the food or with mindfulness. So you start to eat with mindfulness. At that time, your unwholesome consciousness rooted in jhana change to wholesome, rooted in wisdom. So it changes according to your wise attention or unwise attention. But which one will ripen first? That no one will say. When you eat with consciousness rooted in greed, that one may ripen first. Or when you eat with consciousness rooted in wisdom, or that one may ripen first. That you do not know. Only Buddha will know. Yes? Last question. Okay. When you do dana, of course, you are not to expect anything. If today I offer $2, I expect I get $10 back in the future or in the present life. Then your dana is based on greed and expectation. Okay. So it's not good, of course. So, but when you do dana, then you make a wish. May this meritorious gift be a condition for me to realize the dana. Only you make this wish. This is called the superior wish. And this is called, if you do dana with this hope, with this prayer, your dana is called dana parami. Dana parami, yakhen parami. But if you do dana with hope to get something back, this one is only called punya. A marriage only, not dana parami. Okay. So, the nature of dana, whether you expect it or not, the good result will return to you. Whether you expect it or not, this is the nature of dana. So you know it will return to you, don't expect. Don't get it on the grid. But you know, with the understanding, you know it will return to you. But we saw this, what the Buddha says. When you do dana, you do have, when you do something good, if you do with joy, you bear such a result. It's easy to understand, isn't it? When you do dana, you do with joy, then you appreciate more of your dana. Then you feel better results rather than you do with equanimity. Previously, you may think another way. Now, you come to this Abhidhamma class, you know better to do with joy. Even though you don't have joy, try to create it. And sometimes it's also, you know, each one's personality, you know. Maybe you yourself have less joy, so when you do that now, so you have to try very hard to create the joy. Okay, we continue at 5 o'clock. Another word to accumulate.
Sitaram.